and welcome to episode 29 of the Back to Front show. This week joined by the sound of aircraft in Wales and soaring wood here in beautiful Bath.
Morning.
Morning. How are you today, Kieran?
Yeah, not too bad.
I think we do have to start with an abject apology.
Oh God, why?
Well, we're a day late.
Oh.
I know.
Some of us have work to do, Kier.
Well, and some of us take things seriously, Kieran. Clearly.
Yeah, obviously.
There is a disparity in the, you know, the way we...
I apologise for my work schedule.
I know. But weekly, we are keeping it up. This will be out today, which is Friday. Yes, keeping our end up. As only we can. But anyway, we had some listener feedback. Did you read it?
I did, yes.
Yes. So for all you North American listeners and those in other parts of the UK, Kieran, as the Somerset native, could you please explain?
Somerset native.
It's like a digital native, isn't it? You know, Somerset native, I don't know, whatever. The difference between, or indeed, what are the Mendips and the Levels?
Right, so honestly, I must have explained this to Kier about 2,000 times, but I get the feeling he doesn't actually want to learn.
Are you talking to me or at the listeners now?
No, I'm talking to you.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, the...
it's just that you're referring to me in the third person, though. I am here, you know.
Well, yeah, but... Yeah.
Okay. Go on then. What is
anyway,
it?
Anyway, so which shall I go first? The Mendips?
Yeah, whichever. I mean,
so
I don't actually know.
The Mendip Hills are a range of hills.
Right.
That, according to Wikipedia... run east to west between Weston-super-Mare and Frome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the hills overlook the Somerset Levels.
Oh.
And the Somerset Levels are a big piece of moorland that runs out to the sea.
Right.
And would originally have been underwater.
So
but
it
was
swampy?
But was drained in something like... I don't know exactly when. I think it was like the 12th century or something. That's probably wrong.
How did they drain it in the 12th century? I mean, surely
well,
the technology,
you know, in the same way as
limited.
The Dutch did in Holland, they just they used reens, which you cut big, deep reens into the peat out in the levels, and so the water runs into the reens and the land is kind of reclaimed.
Oh.
Hmm.
Okay, so Wikipedia.
Wikipedia has helped us out. We'll post both the Wikipedia links. So that you can edificate yourself.
Can what?
Edificate.
What does that mean?
Yourself.
Educate.
About the Somerset Levels and the Mendips.
Good. Okay. Well, that was for Josh. So hopefully that's...
Hope he can...
understand.
Understand our rambling now.
Yeah. The mythical levels and the Mendips.
We should make clear that when Kier refers to them as the mythical levels, this is because they are, well, certain locations on the levels are supposed to have been the original seat of King Arthur.
There you go, you see?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. This is a technology and web-focused podcast, for those wondering. If this is your first time listening, do not worry, it's not always like this. It's not always ghosts and ghouls, But episode 29, this is our link show.
Welcome.
And we'd like to say a huge thank you once again to our friends at Deploy for supporting this episode.
Thank you, Deploy.
If you didn't listen to last week's show, and please, excuses on the back of a stamped addressed envelope or whatever that
rectify
phrase was.
Rectify that immediately.
Yes, do rectify that immediately. Deploy is a web-based interface to moving your code around, whether it be on GitHub, Bitbucket, what's the other one? Mercurial. There you go. SVN.
Mercurial.
People still use that? I think they do.
Yeah.
And you can check out your code from there, push it to FTP servers. Kieran's favourite, SSH. You like a bit of
SSH.
Bit of SFTP, Amazon S3, Rackspace Cloud, all of those things. Very designer friendly, very easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of just fill in the blanks and off you go. If you're a sort of designer who's a little bit scared of deployment and things like that, definitely give it a check out. And no pun intended, you can go to deployhq.com, and if you enter the code back to front, you will get 50% off your first 3 months.
It is definitely worth non-geek heavy people going to check it out, because I think it's kind of the missing piece.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? It's the missing piece between version control and deployment that everybody's sort of like, well, now I've got my code in GitHub, or Bitbucket or whatever, and I'm doing the right thing, and I'm, you know, I'm committing, and everyone ever make a change. But now, how do I get it onto my hosting without, you know, without just exporting it and FTPing it up?
Yeah, exactly. It's really easy to use, and of course, if you have an open source project, it's absolutely free. So
completely free.
Definitely, please check out and support our friends at Deploy.
Yeah.
So we got three links each, and the first one I have, if I may go first.
Well, you always do.
That's because I do the show notes.
That's true.
Yeah. Carry on. In 29 shows, I don't think you've ever once instigated the show notes, Kieran.
I have actually. That's not true.
Is that not true?
I think there's two occasions when I've done this.
As a percentage, it's not very high. But anyway, forgivable. No. Forgivable behaviour. So this one, very, very tech heavy.
Yeah.
And on Medium.
Which is the daddy of blogging platforms.
Blogging platforms.
I'd say it's actually the deep thinker of blogging platforms.
It is. Well, do you know what? Funnily enough, I was looking at, I followed a link from the Twitter today.
Yep.
Someone said they'd started up a new blog and it was on Blogspot. Really? Blogger.
No.
Yeah.
See, that is proper hipster, isn't it? That is proper ironic blog setup.
I think it's ironic blog setup. But still worked. Still worked.
I bet.
But this one, and I do believe, and you can testify to this, that having a beard makes you a better developer.
Yeah.
And if you haven't, you know, got a beard, but you would like to know how to beard.
Like to apply.
If you'd like to apply for the privilege of owning and maintaining and working with a beard, there is an article all about it on Medium called How to Beard. Now, this caught my attention.
Before you launch in, I should caveat that if you're looking at this beard article right now, my beard is more similar to the bear in the header than it is to the chap who wrote the blog post.
Now, Tobias Van Schneider, I will happily stand corrected. He does have an amazing beard, this man.
It is an epic beard, but it's not a beard that I'd ever attempt.
Well, I think we should kickstart the campaign now. What would it take?
I wouldn't do it.
Really?
No.
But yeah, so Kieran does look... well, I mean, that's what I thought of you. It's got a bear on it.
Yeah.
but there are some... it's an interesting insight, really, into to the life of one man and his beard. And some good rules. We won't go through them all.
To be clear, there's rules for growing a beard in this article.
And there are some amazing... I mean, I have beard envy, as you've known. I've tried and failed miserably to get the full...
Follicle reach.
Yeah, a sort of developer beard. But I've tried, and currently it's... it's off. There's no stubble even.
Not even stubble?
Not even stubble today.
It's controversial.
No, it interferes with my moisturising regimen.
Oh, God.
But yeah, so rules for growing a beard. And obviously, we cannot swear on the show. And there's quite a few expletives in here, to be fair.
We're not allowed... Okay, yeah.
The first rule is to just leave the beard alone. Then you have to get through the it looks not very nice phase. But by point three, you're embracing it. Everyone grows a different beard. Some are fuller than others. Some have patches.
I disagree with this entirely. Really? Yeah.
Why? And then point four is ignore everyone who wants you to shave. Ignore friends and family, significant others.
I agree with that.
And there's some great links here to why men with beards look better. So you can forward those on. And this is followed by, which actually this took my, this really is where it caught my attention, the maintenance. Because I think when I did try to sort of be more hirsute, I think we had different ideas about this. So do you shampoo?
No.
No electric razor. How do you trim?
I use electric razor.
You see, it's not recommended here, and there are three comments.
Not by him, but no, but he also has a beard that is far longer than mine.
This is
his
true.
His beard is down to his chest almost.
And there is distinctly no touching allowed.
Yeah, you see, I touch my beard all the time.
You're a bit of a stroker of the beard.
I am
you?
A bit of a stroker. It's aid to thinking. Has actually been noted on by listeners to the podcast, I believe.
Really, they can hear
they can hear strokage.
Oh, that's not good. But and then there's some tips. So yes to beard oil.
Never tried it.
Really?
Wouldn't try it. No need. My beard's not long enough for this.
I thought you would be right up there with some sort of. Glastonbury manufactured beer.
These are all very much aimed at full-on, full-length hipster beards.
Whereas, yeah, I can't believe you've used the H word. We're avoiding that.
A man like me with a compact beard.
Is that a technical term? Would you go into a barber's and say, would it be one price for compact, one price for hipster beard?
No, but I'm more Kevin Smith than I am Father Christmas, let's put it that way.
Hmm. I know our friend Cole has a regular beard trimmage in the barber's.
He does, but his is longer than mine.
It is. He's in between, I would say.
Yes, he is.
Do you have a beard comb?
No.
Oh, you're just doing it all wrong.
Yeah. But at least I don't have any need for this.
But there are some good links at the bottom. Again, a brand here with something approaching an expletive in the branding there. Really? Bearded something mustache wax. and then, of course, a Williamsburg beard oil, naturally.
Obviously.
And
Scented. Oh,
various other things. But all joking aside, I think we all know that having a good beard, if you're male, makes you a better developer. So go and check it out and get beard envy. I mean, it's just incredible. But
some of the beard is not essentially his beard, but some of the other images of men with beards, they have pretty majestic facial hair going on.
I think the gentleman in the middle of the what's it called? The triptych of beards.
Yes.
Halfway down. He looks amazingly dapper.
Mm-hmm, he does.
And the beard really works.
It does. It looks great.
Although I don't think he's a developer.
No.
I would just wager.
Well, that's a judgment.
It is. It is a judgment call, and I apologise.
Yeah.
But anyway, right. moving
swiftly on from beards to beards.
Oh, my goodness me. Yeah, what you got this week, Kieran? Yeah, you're next. Go for it.
Torco.
Torco?
Mucho Torco.
What's this then?
This is... Actually, my honest truth for this, I decided to talk about this because I don't actually really understand.
Oh, so you're expecting input?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I'm sure you checked it out.
Well, it says here, amazing things can happen when we talk with each other. I mean, this is a new concept, considering that why talk when you can email, text, direct message?
This is bleeding edge, the idea that we talk to one another. I should be clear, this is torco.com.
It's a good domain, though. Good domain.
It is. It is a great domain. But what I believe it is that they're sort of allowing you to do hybrid communication. So maybe you want to leave the equivalent of a voice message for someone, so you can leave a message verbally, but then you can attach a picture with it, and you can add some text to annotate the picture, and you can send that effectively as a message to another Torco user. My understanding is that it's kind of like a bundling up of different communication methods. So you can record a short message verbally, but then you can also pair it with maybe a photograph or and also a status as well. So you can say like, in progress or currently blocked or whatever. So there's a little bit of a little bit of project management in there almost.
Interesting. Interesting. So is this paid or free or what?
It just seems to be, hang on a sec. He's done his research.
Download on the App Store.
He's done his research. It's free.
It's free. Interesting. I mean, it looks, visually very slick. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it got a lot of attention when it launched.
So you can have team calls into Torco. So is it you actually just record something and then post it, or can people actually kind of talk all at the same time?
You see, this is what my confusion was. My understanding was that it kind of like merges phone calls with messaging and voice, but I can't work out if you can have a continuous conversation with it, or whether it's just literally like you say something while you're typing and then send it. Do you see what I mean?
I think yes. I think it's
one of these products where I think that it could be great, but I'm sort of it hasn't been communicated that effectively.
No.
You know, when you go to a lot of websites, there's like a one sentence, you just get it. You know exactly what they're trying to do. But talk, share, do doesn't really... Amazing things can happen when we talk with each other. Excuse me. Thoughts are shared. Ideas formed and problems solved. Talk is the best way to use your voice to get things done. So I think it's more like about note-taking verbally, sending that to people, combining it with an image. Maybe say you could take a piece of artwork that you're working on with someone and say, I've done this, I've done that, what do you think? You know,
I kind of like that idea that you can maybe have a screen grab and you can just talk through some of your thinking behind it and then pass it along to one of your team. I wonder if you'll be able to take that data and maybe attach it to something like a post in Basecamp or something like that. Like you could embed it so that people could see it. And I mean, I think that would be quite useful.
Yeah, I'm almost wondering if they're sort of trying to jump on the Slack bandwagon slightly, but obviously with a mobile focus. So the example they're showing is that, you know, someone's sitting in a cab, they're stuck in traffic, they're going to a product launch, and then they send a picture of, you know, a blocked New York City street and say stuck in traffic and so verbally, and then somebody comes back to them and says start walking.
Yeah,
it seems to be that idea of like you're collaborating on something with someone and, you know, you're giving them a little status update, but then they can come back to that in a thread. So it's quite interesting. It's not 100% clear how it works, but you know, it's clearly caused some buzz on the Twitters.
Do you think we'll start seeing more of these kind of apps? I mean, I wouldn't say backlash against things like Twitter and that, but I think there is, people are moving away and looking at different platforms now, aren't they?
I actually think that they're trying to solve a different problem to Twitter and Facebook and these people, because I think that the problem that they're looking to solve is the fact that all our interactions online are so fractured.
Mm.
So what Slack's doing with its integrations is it's trying to bring all the tools that maybe we use in a modern day business
into one place
and allow you to surround that with conversation, because conversation is the thread that connects everything together. And I think that's what Talker are probably trying to do as well. You know, like it'll be, you know, photographs first, then it'll be maybe documents, then it'll be, you know, and it'll build like that. That's my suspicion.
Yeah, it's currently free, but just reading the FAQs, I love the way we call them, frequently asked questions. Like they've all been asked. We actually always think of our own FAQs, don't we? It's more like
no one's ever actually asked.
But
these
the
questions.
Acronym for these are the questions that we think you might ask really isn't as good. So, but yes, it's free in the App Store at the moment, available for the iPhone. Mm-hmm. And we'll be offering paid subscriptions for individuals, teams, and organizations in the future.
Seems to be a common model, actually, doesn't it?
This, yeah.
You know, going for team and organization accounts, but individual stuff's free.
Yeah. So, talking of iPhones, have you got the you got the new one? Didn't you? You've got the one that's sort of the size of half an
iPad.
No,
I haven't got the Plus. I've got the standard iPhone 6, yes.
And have you had to
Please excuse the fuzz. Sorry, as they tear past the front of my house.
Ah, yes, the boy racers. It wouldn't be the same without them. Was that the Polis?
It's the fuzz, yeah.
It's the fuzz. Yeah, so have you had to buy, like, new jeans to accommodate the...
I have to say that I am cautious about leaving it in my back pocket since Bendgate, but all my thinking about Ben Gates, it says that the guy in that video had to put a lot of pressure on that iPhone 6 Plus to get it to bend.
Would you ever keep it in your back pocket? I'd never keep it in my back pocket.
Oh, my phone's always in my back pocket. That's the standard
location.
Now,
you know, if you see a bearded, bear-like developer in Wales, left or right back pocket, as you're facing you?
Right.
Right, okay. Left, okay. There you go. Now you know. But, so Talko, great domain. Talko.com. Yeah. Looks interesting. We might check that out. We shall feedback.
We can use it for collaboration on the Back to Front show.
I like it. And then we can post it all to Basecamp and do a flat file, static site and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, you know my love of startups. But actually, this next one is, it's very applicable. It's called herestartup.com. And this is, almost sing it to the tune of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but anyway, I won't. This is a series about what happens when someone who knows nothing about business starts one. It's called Startup. And it's not your average startup. It's a startup focused on podcasting and long-form podcasts. And the episodes, companies...
This is meta now, isn't it?
It is a little bit. But it's hosted by Alex Blumberg from This American Life and Planet Money. Are you familiar with This American Life?
I am, yes.
What's your view on it?
I didn't stick with it.
You didn't stick with it. It always gets high praise from most people in the know.
It does.
I've listened to a little bit, but not too much. Although I did listen to your the vodcast. Very, very funny.
Comedians in cars getting coffee.
Some amazing cars. Coffee wasn't great.
No.
Didn't look great. Some great slop. Diners. But yes, very funny. The Chris Rock episode. Hilarious.
I actually realised that I renamed Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, you did, didn't you? What did you call her? Jessica Sarah Parker. This is just how you like to think of her. Maybe that's what you call her. You know,
our friends call her Jess. So
between friends, you know, what's a mix up with names? It's nothing. But yes. Anyway, startup here, startup.com. For starters, the production. Obviously, he's got heritage in being able to produce great audio. But it's really, really well done.
This industry, heritage.
Really well done. And it's just really informative. So in the first one, he talks about how he's giving up his job. He's got a wife and two kids to pursue this dream of starting a podcast production company, basically, which I think he calls the American Podcast Corporation.
Right.
APC. But so he flies out from his base in New York to pitch Mark. Chris. How do you say it? Chris Sacker, Sasha.
Chris Sacker. Yeah.
Yeah. And he has his whole deck ready to go. But basically, he ends up doing the pitch on the sidewalk, as they call it over there. Basically, Chris. I'll just call him Chris.
Yeah. Chris.
Basically, says, "No, mate. This is how you should do it," and then tells him how to re-pitch him. And that one's titled How Not to Pitch a Billionaire. But it's really good. And there's a lot of talk in there about, are you solving a real problem? All these things. How do you divide up the company when he gets a business partner on there? And what he actually does when he records the conversations that they're having about how to divide up this imaginary pie. And then after the conversation, they both record their conversations with their spouses. And fascinating. And then,
That's good. That's interesting.
After that, they then someone died there. Is everything all right? A shelf falling down.
No, it's just Whistler.
It's just the dog, the wet dog. They both listen back to the conversations with the spouses and then come back together in a cafe to talk about it. So, yeah, nice. It really is good. And they're really, really interesting. Just lots and lots of good stuff. And yeah, the way he does advertising within it as well, where he actually kind of goes and pitches up at the companies. He's had a couple of sponsors in there, and he sort of goes and talks to the people working at these companies and said, "Do you know you're sponsoring my show? Do you think that's a good idea? Do you know how much you're paying me?" And our friend Mark DiCristiano from MailChimp makes a rare cameo appearance in a couple
does
of them he? As well. So yeah, it's
the best. He was speaking at Creative Mornings.
Oh, was he? Oh, cool.
So yeah, so I saw an Instagram,
Chimpagram,
Chimpers.
But they're about 30 minutes long, and it if you're into podcasting, it's quite interesting as a sort of business model, but also if you've got interest in doing your own thing as well, startups, whatever you prefer to call it. It's good fun. But we're up to, and it's almost in real time. You know, he's doing this stuff and then he's recording as he goes, so you're kind of following the journey as well. So it ticks a lot of boxes.
Cool.
Herestartup.com.
I'll have to check that out.
Right. Oh, well. So you're now going to talk about one of the UK's biggest supermarket chains.
I am. Yeah. Yeah.
They're in the doo-doo a bit, aren't they?
Well, they are in the doo-doo, especially with this news.
Mm, go on.
So this is the news that Tesco is planning to either sell or close Blinkbox.
Now, for those listeners who may be joining us recently, we have talked about Blinkbox before, but how would you describe it? Is it one of those kind of on-demand, subscription-based modules you can plug into?
No, it's not subscription-based. So it's it is VOD.
VOD.
So you know, you can think of it like Netflix, but it is pay-per-view.
Right, and once you paid, can you watch that in perpetuity, or can you just it's just a one-time hit, or?
I believe that it's a rental.
Ah, okay, interesting.
Yeah, I played with it a very long time ago. Now, I think before Tesco bought it.
Right.
But I think you can buy titles, you know, like to keep on it as well. But the I imagine that the bulk of their business is rental.
Okay. So they're what are they?
Because originally, I think that they were sort of like, you know, we're gonna kill Blockbuster, that type of.
Do you remember message. Blockbuster? It always kind of smelled of stale popcorn. Blockbuster. It doesn't matter where you went in one in the country.
That was the people working by the counter.
It could well have been. And yeah, do you ever miss going in and just sort of browsing the video store, you know? And
this is the, again, we're getting onto the subject of my talk at Milton Keynes Geek Night. But the but yeah, I do. I really miss that, and I think that a lot of companies have tried to solve this and failed.
Mm. Anyways,
there's no real discovery happening apart from socially. Mm. But anyway, so this is the news that Tesco are planning to either sell or close Blinkbox because it's not making them any money. And this transactional VOD is a massive challenge.
We
the industry knows this, but supermarket chain bought this, I think, to sort of try and make itself more relevant in people's home. You know, that whole lifestyle thing.
It does get
into people's living rooms.
Yeah, this. I mean, I think Tesco. Just speaking locally.
Local.
I think they're actually refused. There's a beautiful old printing building. I think it was a Bath Press.
Yes.
In Bath, and they were due to convert this into a big supermarket. They'd not been allowed to for various reasons. Tesco not that popular around here for some reason, but they've now basically set up another company, and they're going to, you know, turn it into luxury flats, keeping the frontage. So I mean, they're in a lot of fingers in a lot of pies, put it that way.
Yeah. And yes, basically that it doesn't seem to have traction. And I think this is kind of in the similar vein to their tablet they brought out. I've forgotten the name of it now.
Yes.
You know, I think that, you know, there were rumours that stock was sitting on the shelves after Christmas, you know, from that. So I think that it's a similar thing that these companies are desperate. They know that they need to get into people's living rooms in order to, you know, try and get a stranglehold on the consumer. But they... They don't really seem to have the expertise to do that. So they're buying up these companies, and it's not really working out for them.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, we've talked about this before. Obviously, it's one of your sort of keen interests. But the market now, I mean, there's Blinkbox, there's Netflix, there's Apple TV, there's Chromecast, there's
Amazon Prime,
all these different things. And it does feel a bit of a sort of wild west frontier in terms of where the content's going. Mm. And also, like, I think Amazon are doing some interesting things. You know, they're going into production where they're doing this these kind of pilots where I've watched quite a few of them because I have Prime. And they're good comedies, but they're only making one episode, and then it's down to sort of feedback whether they go and...
It's not just down to feedback, but it's down to the actual stats of who's watching it where, and how successful it is. So they're actually monitoring, you know, whether the things are getting watched, you know, where they're getting watched, and on what devices they're being watched, and all those kind of things.
Yes,
because that's the new Netflix dream, isn't it? To start commissioning shows based on your data.
Yeah, the new studio model.
Reverse engineer Hollywood.
Yeah, which is kind of polar to the old studio system, which died out not that long ago, sort of 50, 60 years, I guess. Mm. But yeah, interesting. So yes, Blinkbox, if you have a Blinkbox, I wonder what will happen to it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, don't know.
Guess it will still work. But I had trouble reading the domain for this one, but then I sort of realised that the threes were E's.
Yes.
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 Nerdable.
Nerdable.
Yeah, I'm too old for this. Yeah.
Do you find you rarely actually know? I mean, I don't go to websites anymore as destinations and read these things. Like, these things get sent to me by people, these links, or I see them on Twitter or whatever. So I don't actually necessarily spend that much time looking at the source unless I'm thinking this is suspicious, and then I look at who's writing it. But you know, I don't tend to you know, hit up Wired every day anymore, or you know.
No, I know what you mean.
Mashable or, you know, whatever.
I you know, stick in the mud with RSS. I use, funnily enough, I use DigReader, which will be relevant for the next post. Yeah, so I have a lot of things that I follow in that way. And I guess there's a couple of apps that give a lot of recommendations. And I think one of them is called Daily, which is an iPhone app by the people from Buffer. And kind of looks through your timelines and I guess uses some kind of algorithm to work out the kind of things that you're interested in. Mm-hmm. And then
like Dig are doing now. What's Dig doing? Dig.
Yes.
Dig something or other.
Yeah. So it, yes. It looks through your timeline and various other things. So, yeah. I think a lot of recommendations, but yes, there's very few sites that I, and when you consider the amount of time
dig
and
deeper.
Effort.
Sorry.
Dig deeper. Yeah. The time of the time that people put into production of websites, especially content driven websites, it'd be interesting to see what the stats were on sort of some of these, not necessarily the Guardian or BBC, but kind of sites that we used to go and visit. Where their sort of traffic comes from, whether it's through RSS or through, links through aggregation services, things like that. So,
I often wonder if it's me or whether it's whether it's the general. I'm sure someone like John Borthwick could tell you based on his Instapaper stats, but whether it's like, are we going to websites generally or are we to browse, or are we going because we've been directed to do so by some sort of social interaction or whatever?
I would imagine the stats, if you go back 5 years, are very, very different in terms of
I used to pull up /film every single day and just read.
Yeah,
but I don't do that anymore. If they tweet an article and it is interesting to me, I'll click on it.
Mm. Do you find though that if you go to a new site that maybe you've not seen before, and from a link that you'll then have a browse round, or and maybe dig deeper?
It depends if how much they impress me. I mean, I think, and this is not me swearing, this is the name of the company, Badass Digest.
I think ass, we can say that. That's okay.
Yeah, we can say that. Yeah.
It is an animal, after all.
This was a long time ago now, but I think I encountered them for the first time. Who are the people behind Alamo Drafthouse? For those film fans out there. And Mondo, for that matter.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah.
But I think I found them first of all through a link that someone from Mondo put out or something, and then that became a little obsession for a while. I went through everything they'd done and really liked their site. I don't do it generally. I certainly don't do it with tech stuff. I find tech stuff such a regurgitation of another article on Mashable or TechCrunch or wherever.
Yeah, for sure.
There
are sites and. The one that I'm going to refer to next is actually one of those sites that I wish I had more time to spend on, because I think they're doing some really good stuff. And this that's Vox.com.
Vox.com.
Yeah, which we've talked about before. Yeah. Tying all that conversation together in a way is it's a long form article. I think anything about above 12 words now is considered long form. But all about
TLDR.
Yes. Inside the company that rebuilt Dig, and we've talked about New Dig way back.
I name checked Mr. Borthwick just now.
Yes. Probably last year when Beastworks bought the rights to the name, I think. They basically bought the domain, didn't they? Was it for $500,000?
Yeah, something like that, or even $250,000, was it? Half a million, you're right.
And this article goes into kind of the fact that Dig's now relevant again, but in a slightly different guise. Mm. And what caught my attention was, of course, the classic Business Week cover of a very youthful-looking Mr. Kevin Rose, although I have to say he's still very youthful, with how this kid made $60 million US dollars in 18 months, Dig.com's Kevin Rose. And I think reading it, just the history of Dig and how far the internet has and web technology has progressed. I mean, there's a stat in here that before sort of cloud computing, as they call it, slash the cost of running a website, Dig used to cost around $250,000 US dollars a month to run.
Shh.
And we're only going back a few years. I mean, this is just crazy. We now bulk at sort of having to spend $100 on S3 a month for really heavy traffic.
Yeah.
And they were huge. The Dig button was everywhere. It was I remember when they made a change, it was
the
really kind of like, what's gone on? And if you got to the front page of Dig and merchandise sales and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure you had a sticker and a hoodie and a mug and all those things.
Certainly did.
But you know, it was kind of the poster child, wasn't it, of kind of Web 2.0 for a long time.
I think it probably was within the industry. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are others that people who aren't so tech focused might look to.
But it talks about how they almost got bought by Google in 2008.
Screwed it up.
And yeah, and there's also that there's stuff I didn't realize where they actually sold off other companies bought sort kind of bits of it. I thought the dig was just, you know, it's a sale of the domain in the end. But some of the team, or where does it say here, to Dig sold its patents, including one on the concept behind the dig button, to LinkedIn for $4 million. The Washington Post paid $12 million for the dig engineering team.
Serious asset stripping.
Right? Yeah. This was when sort of companies were really getting behind that kind of social stuff, because it talks about here how the founder of Slashdot joined the Post. I'm guessing that's maybe the Washington Post. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Around the same time. But they talk about how they kind of rebuilt it, relaunched it, and how they're using kind of human algorithms, people, in other words, to look at what goes on the front page, and as well as sort of interaction from the site. So the dig button's not all powerful. In actual fact, I'm not even sure it exists anymore. But
no, I think it does.
I don't know about you, but I was really kind of mildly skeptical, I guess, about what they do with it, but very kind of impressed with the result in the end. And yeah, I use Dig. I use Dig Reader. There's a lot in here about the Betaworks model as well, which we've talked about again before, and we've known some people who've done stuff with Betaworks. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting, albeit long read, but yeah, they kind of call it the startup studio again, as you referred to it as. It's a bit like the Hollywood studio system, but for sort of apps. And
I think they've very much taken that model, and you know. The one thing that they can be sure of is that the independent studio model, which is effectively what they've taken, was very successful for the major studios.
Mm.
So
yeah.
I don't think Betaworks are in a bad position. My question mark over that deal was always, you know, how is it going to work for the app builders, which are the equivalent of the independent studios?
Yes, or the actors, I guess, maybe, or whatever.
Well, no, well, the people getting the you know, the three film deal.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, sorry.
Versus the people, you know, the people getting, you know, the revenue from that when they actually distribute it.
Yeah, they've got some interesting successes though. Yours is it Giphy or Jiffy? Who am I to say? Search engine for animated GIFs.
Yeah, love it.
Bitly, Chartbeat, Instapaper, TweetDeck have all had the hand of Betaworks touch them, as it were. But it says here that they haven't had, what they haven't done is produced a multi-billion-dollar company. But I don't think that matters. I think
that's ridiculous.
It's kind of it's refreshing, you know.
Yeah.
It's, they're doing interesting things.
I mean, come on, Bitly.
Yeah,
for goodness' sake. Even Dots, right? Dots was massive.
Yeah,
don't know what it's doing now, but
it's. It's a long article, but it is worth a read. I've got it up here on my rotated old Dell monitor.
Yeah, that's interesting. They're doing another thing that the film industry does. They've got a thing called AlphaWorks,
which helps
companies raise equity capital from their most passionate supporters, customers, and users.
That's interesting.
So that's like, you know, the major studios going out and finding money for production companies to produce. Produce work on the basis of a distribution deal.
Mm.
Interesting. Anyway.
Yeah, but it's and Vox.com as well, definitely worth as a destination site, really, really good.
Yeah.
I need to spend some more time on here. They have this concept called I think it's called cards, which give you kind of marries together articles around a topic, so you can kind of do a deep dive, as it were.
Right,
but
is that like Circa or whatever?
Card stacks, they call it. So it's right. Like everything you need to know about, and you can kind of click into one. Let's have a look. What's this one? Everything you need to know about Obama's executive action on immigration. You kind of click into it, and it's you kind of get a different layout, and you can just kind of scroll through these articles and kind of synopses. It's we've talked about Vox before, but it's something that's come to my attention as a really fresh take on news and that kind of stuff.
And it's also beautifully designed, I hasten to add.
It is. Yeah. It is. This one for you. 9 questions about comic cons you were too embarrassed to ask. But anyways.
Was I?
Anyway. I have no idea. Moving on.
This,
your last one.
This is from Mr. Mark Roberts,
the man,
former guest of the show.
Former guest, co-host, and owner of the pimpest coat in existence.
The Western Hemisphere.
Absolutely. Also
Western
used.
Hemisphere?
I don't know.
Southern Hemisphere.
Wikipedia that one.
Yeah.
Also, you can see a picture of the coat on as a hero image on the show that he guested on.
Mm-hmm.
It's the high pockets. I've never found one to match it. It's an amazing coat. But anyway, yes. So, what did Mark link you up with?
Yeah. He linked me up with archive.today.
Today. Now, have they recently released a whole bunch of new top-level domains, like .beer and .cocktail or something? Or
yeah.
Have they got .wells?
No. Sadly.
Kieran.wells. Yes, so what is this? I mean, I've got to be honest. It's a great looking site. So we've got a couple of forms. Is your personal Wayback Machine? Yeah. Go on, tell me more.
It's interesting. It's a while ago I was talking to Mr. Knish, who
we haven't
mentioned Mr. Knish in this podcast. It is a contractual obligation.
But do we need to issue a formal apology to Mr. Knish?
No. He just got his knickers in a twist. We can move on.
Apparently, just to clarify, that the reason that he owns the .io top level domain is most people think it's for Indian Ocean. It's not. It's actually for Internet Overlord.
Yes,
which is why Neil actually controls that domain.
Yeah, that's correct. That is a fact, a true fact.
That is a fact, and you'll find that on Wikipedia.
On Wikipedia, yeah.
Under Neil's Wikipedia entry. Yep. Internet Overlord.
Internet Overlord, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is archive.today, back to the subject. Mm. I was talking to Neil ages ago about there's no sort of really easy sort of freeze this URL in time solution. For stuff like, you know, the examples they give here are like price lists or job offers or real estate listings or drunk blog posts. And the reason that it came to mind was because I was watching, I was listening to a journalist say it's very easy for a member of parliament to make a stupid blunder on Twitter and then delete that stupid blunder. And really the only way to capture that is like a screenshot or, you know, there's nothing much else to do that with. But this, archive.today, actually will take that and freeze it in time for you and give you a short URL for.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Sorry, I'm having microphone issues.
Oh, there you are. You're back.
Oh, you're back.
Where did you go?
I keep my microphone keeps cutting out for some reason.
Oh, there you go. Yes. No, you're back. You're back.
Sorry about that. So archive.today. It's really nice. It takes a little snapshot, and you can search the archive for saved snapshots too.
So, but presumably, it's not like you'd have to instigate this on the moment of seeing the drunk MP's tweet.
Yes,
right?
Of course. Yeah.
It's not got some secret source that kind of.
It can't roll back time. No.
No. I didn't. I didn't think for a moment it could. But I was thinking whether it kind of, I don't know, spiders and grabs stuff and then only sort of gives you the short URL if you ask for it.
Yeah.
You actually have to kind of instigate it. So where's it storing all this? I mean, that's got to be a bit of a job. Or does it encourage you to download
here.
The cloud? Okay.
But it doesn't seem there's no cost associated with it. I'm not entirely sure. There's just a donate button.
There is a donate button. And it goes to fundraiser.
Fundraiser.
They've only raised, what's this? That's not right. What's this? It sent me to a very funny campaign.
It sent you to help Animal Nation.
Yes. Okay, there we go.
So either this is what... No, this can't be right. Either this is what archive.today want you to support.
Yes.
Or this is some sort of problem.
Some sort of, yes.
Some sort of link issue.
Yes. Maybe we're viewing a snapshot.
You probably are.
Of the page. Yeah. That's, so what's the benefit of this, do you think, over, I don't know, you know, grabbing that screen or, say, you know, screen grabbing it yourself or...
I just like it because the nature of the web is that things update very often, or that someone makes a I'm not trying to catch people out here, but you know, someone makes a mistake, and or others, especially for journalists and stuff, someone makes a massive blunder, or you want to maybe catch, you know, stuff like you're buying a house, and obviously Rightmove will take that house down after a few weeks, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to capture your original details. It's not like, you know, here's a good example. You know, like my parents have all their house details for previous houses, and you can't really do that these days. I suppose they are house details. Most people find them on Rightmove and buy them that way. And this is quite a nice little save it for later type.
So does it service. Save it as a web page or graphic or?
Sorry,
is it as a web page or as a graphic or?
Yeah, it's a web page.
Oh, nice. Okay, I see. Okay, yeah.
So it's actually, you know, yeah. you can go to it and you can, you know, and you can still highlight the text and you can, you know.
Oh, brilliant. With it. Okay, no, that's yeah.
And it gives you some examples of some Web 2.0 sites like GitHub, for example, and how that gets saved.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm imagining the technology behind this. Talking to our friend Mr. Kanish recently about his latest project, part of which is kind of about grabbing screen grabs and just the complexity of trying to sort of go off with a URL and get a decent screen grab
and render it properly.
But obviously the complexity of sort of grabbing all the assets and the HTML and CSS and localizing it, I guess, so that it will remain intact.
Yes.
And not to sort of hard link off to the original site must be an interesting problem to solve.
Yeah, I imagine so. Yeah, I think it's you know, what happens when you follow those links? I'm guessing that you end up at the existing, you know, the current link, you know, version of that page. You don't.
Yeah.
You don't. I imagine they're not doing like an archive of the whole website. They're not archiving the whole of Dig, are they? Just grabbing that specific URL.
I think you can. It says here that you... Oh, no, you can search that way. Sorry.
You can search that way. Yeah. So you can see star.microsoft and find anything that's in Microsoft. Or you can do link to. That's good as well. Like you can specify link and then say, you know, The Onion, for example.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I'll definitely check that out. Archive.today. What do you think of these new top-level domains?
Not a fan.
No?
No, I'm getting too old for this.
I know. It's kind of... it's complicated.
It is.
Archive.today.
I mean, you know, we are running out of domains. It's not, you know, it's not like it's unreasonable to say we'll add more TRDs, but you know, I just think that it's whether a lot of it's about whether, you know, people outside, I keep saying this on the show, it's not, I'm not dissing the tech industry here, but it's people outside the tech industry whether they actually engage with them or not.
I think most,
you know, if someone sees archive.today on the side of a bus, are they actually going to understand that's a website address?
Yeah, it's a good point. I suppose .com, .co.uk, .org are kind of ubiquitous, but
.com and your local TLD, you know, whatever. Yes. Wherever you live.
Yeah. That's true. But check it out, archive.today, TODAY. Cool. Well, that's time, my friend. We've done our six links.
Yeah.
All that remains is to apologize from the bottom of our beards for arriving a day late in
our blunders.
Podcaster of choice. Mm-hmm. And we will be back next week at some point, hopefully, for our discussion show. What are we discussing? Do we know?
No.
No.
Oh, actually, we do.
Well, we do, but...
we do.
Let's not commit.
That was my idea as well.
That was your idea. Should we say or not?
Go on.
You say.
No, you say.
No, you say.
You've forgotten, haven't you?
No.
There you go.
It's about free.
Yes.
And the sort of sense of entitlement to free on the internet and the web and life in general.
Yes.
So we'll
potentially
we'll,
controversial.
It could be. Could be.
Could be.
We could get in trouble.
Our first controversial show.
Yes. Well, that'll be number 30, and we're keeping the funk just for the record. I won't change the titles.
Yeah.
We'll keep the funk. But yes, just to sign off with our thanks again to Deploy.
Yeah.
Please
thank
check
you,
them out.
Adam and ATech.
DeployHQ.com. Please check them out and all of their other amazing products as well. And yeah, have a great weekend, Kieran, and we shall catch up next week. Cheers, mate.
Cheers.